Let me read for you again today briefly today's gospel lessons, very short. And I want you to think about what it takes for our salvation. How much of that is a collective, community, or group team effort, and how much of it is an individual or personal effort. And I also want you to think about change and repentance and going from the known to the unknown. Because as Father Seraphim mentioned, that is our challenge in this life. Our blessing is to constantly move from the known, the comfortable, the secure, to the unknown. Not that that's always bad, but it is sometimes difficult. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And the man rose and departed to his house. Now when the crowd saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. So with regard to salvation, or healing, if you will, because if we think of ourselves as the paralytic, we are paralyzed with sin, and we need healing. We need to rise off this mat of our mistakes and our errors, but we can't do it by ourselves. We need help. We need the help of Christ. Would this paralytic have been able to get to Jesus by himself? No. That's the definition of a paralytic, right? He couldn't walk. He needed his friends to take him to church, essentially. So the actions of the group, of his fellows, of his community, were vital in his salvation. He could not have been healed without their assistance. We do the same things here when we help to build a church or to maintain it, or when we come and attend it, when we show others that it is important and that we offer to bring them too. We are healing ourselves through Christ, and we are helping others. And look at the role that the paralytic played. He had a choice of whether to get off that bed or not. He knew what it was like to be paralyzed. He knew what it was like to be taken care of. Someone had done that for him. Now, we don't know from this passage how long he had been paralyzed, but in many of the other examples of a paralytic being healed, they've been paralyzed for quite some time. So he had perhaps gotten somewhat comfortable in that place. Not to say that he liked it, but at least he knew it, and he was comfortable with it. Change is often very hard. And one of the hardest things to overcome is the insecurity of not knowing what the next thing will be like, whatever that may be. But this man had a choice. Was he willing to change? Was he willing to repent? If you think this is really any different from any other story in the Bible, if you look carefully, it's really not. If you go back to Genesis, you'll see that Abram, before he was Abraham, Abram was in basically modern-day Iraq. And God said, "Okay, I want you to go to what we call the Holy Land now. Leave your family, leave your job, leave your friends, leave your customs, leave your dress, leave your diet. I mean, leave it. I want you to change. I want you to leave that place and go to this place." And he and Sarah did it. What do you think Moses and his wife Zipporah and the rest of the Israelites thought when it was time to leave Egypt, even though they were being persecuted, right? Even though they were slaves, they had to leave, go into the desert. If you go and read the texts, you will see that there were plenty of them who, once they got into the desert, complained. They said, "You know, even though we were slaves, we had a roof over our head and a meal in our belly every night." Just like us, isn't it, human beings? Or think about Ruth. Go back and read the Old Testament story about Ruth. You know, this is a word that means pity and compassion today. But Ruth, she followed Naomi back to Naomi's homeland so that she can give comfort and love to Naomi. She left, as did Abram and Sarah, as did Moses and Zipporah. She left what she knew for what she did not know. How many of you are faced with finding a new job? How many of you are faced with relocating to a different city? How many of you are faced with some new turn of health? You're going from the known to the unknown. It's hard. We don't like it because it emphasizes the inherent insecurity of this life we have. It frightens us. We don't like it. We don't want to do it. And I'm right there with you. I don't much like it either. But this is how we grow in faith. And we look to the highest example of this, our Blessed Mother. For though she did not know what it was like to be with a man or to have a child, she consented to move into the unknown. When the angel Gabriel came to her and said, "You will be with child," she consented. She said, "Let it be to me according to your word," or "Let it be according to your word." She consented to the unknown, having no hint at all what it might be like. She went from the known to the unknown. In that, she is an example for us. And if we think about it, really, every day is unknown. We don't know what's going to happen from minute to minute. And as the Holy Fathers exhort us, think constantly of the day of your death, and that will keep everything else in perspective. Everything else will be in perspective. Suddenly, those small frustrations will be meaningless. When you think about having to face Christ our God, then things take on their real significance. Someone cuts you off in traffic, pish posh. It means nothing. It means nothing. You lose your job, pish posh. It means nothing. It means nothing. It will work out. Not to say it's going to be easy. It could be hard. It could be very scary. But if we think about that, there's nothing that a human being can take away from you in this life that God cannot replace. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. That's why we're told to fear God and not man. God can replace it. Now, He may wait till the kingdom to do it. He may wait till the kingdom to do it, but there's nothing man can take away from you that God can't replace. There is something that you can give up, however, that God will not force you to receive, and that is faith. That is hope, and that is love. Satan and our opponents do everything that they can to remove faith from you. But it's something we voluntarily give up. It's easy to get lazy. It's easy to let it wither on the vine. But we must nurture our faith. And the way we do that is through exercise, and that's from changing. That's moving from the known to the unknown. We are moving towards perfection, and it is a constant path. If you think you've arrived, if you think you don't need it, then you need it most of all. We are constantly moving. And that is the challenge. And many fatigue of the challenge and give up and drift off to the side. And Lord knows this world gives us many, many entertainments and things to distract us. And we just forget. And it's easy to drift away. And we mustn't do that. We mustn't do that. As the Theotokos was an example for all of us in accepting the known, let's go back to our parable and look at what happened when this paralytic accepted to be changed. It said he stood up and walked, and the crowd marveled. So as the group took the individual to salvation, and as the individual responded, the group then responded to the individual's experience, and they praised God. So it's a beautiful circle of personal and corporate. It really is. It's very nice. So think about these things today and as you go about this week. And I pray and hope that all of us have a blessed and peaceful week in the name of Christ. Amen.